would be saved. Don't go down defeated while victory's here to claim. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. Well, get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved. Evil everywhere. The body seems discouraged and overcome with fear. Oh, but God is needing soldiers to get out of those pews and to take a hold of the power that John and Peter used.
Well, get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. Our Lord is calling daily. Those who would be saved, don't go down defeated while victory's here to claim. Get up, get up, get up, get up,
oh, yeah.
Get up, get up,
hallelujah.
Get up in Jesus' name.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Well, on this wonderful, cold, rainy Saturday night, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see them in church on Saturday night. Brothers, good to see all of you. God bless you. Good to see all of you. Play a little bit more of it, Brother Harry. Play it, sister. Play it.
Saved. Don't go down defeated while victory's here to claim.
Oh, get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name.
The days in which we live in, there's evil everywhere. The body seems discouraged and overcome with fear. But God is needing soldiers to get out of those pews and to take a hold of the power that John and Peter used.
Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. Our Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved.
Don't go down defeated while victory's here.
Tonight. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. King of kings, Lord of lords. Somebody say hallelujah.
Oh, bless the Lord. Well, I believe you've come to have church tonight. Amen. Let's look at our prayer request real quickly, if you will. I want to pray for Colin Atkins. Has an ear infection, running a fever. Brother Gene Lehman sends that in, so let's remember that child tonight as we pray that the Lord would just be mindful of him. Brother Amos Cutts sends this in. At my employment, we are undergoing a policy change that would be detrimental to the employees in many ways. I spoke to my CEO about it. Please pray that this policy will be towards our best interest. So let's just pray that all will work out for Brother Amos and the other folks that work at that place, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. I believe he's big enough to do that, don't you? Amen. We want to remember tonight the Harold Buchanan family. Brother Harold left us today about 12:30 and went on home to be with the Lord. So we know that I was just sitting in the chair at the house a while ago, and I happened to look up at the clock, and it was about 4:30. And I said, I wonder, in these last 4 hours, just what has been going on. What he was waiting on and what was waiting on him, they met. And I'd say it's been a happy time. But we want to remember the family, that God would just be mindful of them and undergird them with his presence. I believe he'll do that for them. So let's pray for those folks tonight. They'll be having a memorial service for Brother Harold. I don't know exactly the details about that, but I'm sure you'll be informed as that day gets here. So let's do pray for him. I want to pray for Sheila McComas. I hope I got that right, from Arkansas. She's in the hospital for tests after blacking out. The doctors have not been able to find what's causing her problems. They want to ask us that we would pray for her on her behalf tonight. So let's just commit that unto the Lord. I want to pray for Andrew Kennedy. He is sick with flu-like symptoms. Also want to pray for Brother Eugene Kennedy. He goes for tests on Monday. Pray that everything will be all right. So let's remember that need tonight. I want to pray for Sister Clara Davis. She's having a lot of swelling and pain in her knees. So let's pray for her tonight. Also, my son, mine and Glenda's son, Andy. He's having knee problems. So if you would remember him also as we pray tonight. I want to pray for Patty and Steve Atchison. I hope I got the name right. Who is seeking God's will concerning some missionary work. So let's just pray that the Lord would lead and guide them as they seek his will. Sister King has a special unspoken prayer request. We'll just commit that unto the Lord. Sister Jaretta Stockton has an unspoken prayer request. Let's pray for that. Also, Brother Joshua Snodgrass, he wants to thank the Lord for helping him find a job, so praise God for that. Brother George Hamblin says, please pray for a co-worker, Lee Gregg. He is having gallbladder surgery on Wednesday, also a liver biopsy, so they're asking that we would remember him in prayer. Brother Jerry Glenn wants to praise the Lord. All is well. He got a real good report from the doctors, and he wants to thank everyone for their prayer. So, Brother Jerry, God bless you, and thank you for praying for him. Sister Sarah Ellis sends this in to please pray for for England Ellis. He is having heart problems, so let's remember that prayer request as we pray tonight. Certainly want to pray for our pastor and Sister Carol, Brother Donnie and Sister Carol, as they're in Arizona. Also, Brother Darrell is there preaching some services, that the Lord would just bless them with some tremendous services. May God give them rest for their bodies, and as they enjoy the days in Arizona, may God just bless them real good. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about. You believe we're serving a God that's bigger than all of our problems? Look at somebody and say, my God's a big God. My God is an all-sufficient God. And he's more than able to meet your need. Tell somebody that he's more than able to meet your need tonight. Now give him another big hand clap of praise if you love him with all your heart. Amen. Let's sing a little chorus thanks tonight just before we pray. Brother Harold, if you'll come tonight, lead us to the Lord. Let's invite his presence into this service. But let's thank him in singing this chorus to him just before we pray tonight. We want to say thanks, thanks. I give you thanks. Oh, all you've done. I am so blessed. My soul has found. Oh Lord, I want to
say thanks.
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 I give you thanks. Oh,
all
you've done.
I'm so blessed.
We're so blessed.
My soul has found rest. Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
I give you,
we give you thanks.
Brother Harold, God bless you tonight. Let's join our brother as he leads us to the Lord tonight. Love you, buddy.
Let's bow our heads tonight. Lord Jesus, hold in my hand, Lord, requests, Lord, that people have taken the time to write out. And we've read them, we've gone over them, we've heard them, Lord. Now, Lord, maybe we can't remember them all. But, Lord, we have this confidence because we know that you do, Lord. And, Lord, we bring these requests, Lord, to you, believing, God, that you are a prayer-answering God, knowing that you're a prayer-answering God. Oh, God, and you want us, Lord, to ask big things. Lord, you want to ask the little things. You just want us to ask you and to have fellowship with you and speak with you. And Lord, bring our request to you, Lord. Lord Jesus, we believe that you'll answer these, Lord. God, we want to say thank you, Lord, for the many things that you've already given to us and the many requests that you've already asked. Lord, if we were to sit up here or to stand here, Lord, and try to enumerate them one by one, Lord, it would take years, Lord. Oh, God, we want to thank you in advance for what you're going to do, Lord, and look forward to hearing testimonies of people that have come back, Lord, and ones that have had perhaps the brother with the heart condition and this and that. And, oh, God, Lord Jesus, these are real needs, Lord. And, God, we want to take them sincerely as the bride of Christ and bring them to you, Lord, because just as Esther was, that is our obligation, Lord. And, God, we want to take it serious, Lord. God, we believe you, and we want to say thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Harold. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Certainly glad to have Brother Dale Smith and his wife with us tonight in the service. And just looking forward to what the Lord would have for us tonight from the Word of the Lord. And Sister Smith's going to be giving us a song here just in a few minutes. So if she'll be getting ready, let me make this announcement just before we sing our song tonight. The Louisiana Youth Camp applications and bus list are available in the library. Please sign both quickly. We need a head count for those that's riding the bus. Camp filled up fast last year. Do this as soon as possible to secure your spot at camp. The ages for the camp is 13 and up. If you are 12 and turning 13 this year, you will be eligible to go. The deadline to have your applications is March the 1st. Also, applications are available online. So if you're going to be going to that youth camp, you need to get things taken care of, get the paperwork filled out, and so they'll know how many is going. Are you glad you're a Christian tonight? Are you glad you love the Lord?
Amen.
Aren't you glad He loves you back?
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing a song tonight. Somewhere just across the Jordan River, Brother Harry. That sounds like home to me, doesn't it you? Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Sing it, buddy.
Somewhere just across the Jordan River, there's a place of everlasting joy
and peace.
The tree of life is blooming there forever.
Oh, it's blooming there forever.
And a crown of life is waiting there for me.
Now let's sing it to him, church.
And that sounds like home.
Hey. They say there's mansions there.
Hallelujah.
Inside the city.
Oh, I believe it too.
A crystal river flowing by the tree of life. And no pain, no disappointment.
No pain, no disappointment.
Jesus Christ Himself will be the light.
Oh, that sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears. Feel my eyes again. The hills will echo with the storm. Sing of His grace and glory, where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me. They say there's mansions there inside the city.
Hallelujah.
A crystal river flows. A tree alive.
No pain, no disappointments ever come there. And Jesus Christ, our God, will be the light.
Oh, that sounds like home to me.
And glory,
where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me.
The hills
will echo with love's story as we sing of His grace and glory, where the saints of God will be.
Let's sing this little chorus just before we change the order of the service tonight. Thank you, Jesus, because you brought me such a mighty long way. You look at your life. Look at how it all started out. Look at where you've been. Look at where you are. And look at what He's done for you. Think of the things He's brought you through. He's took care of me when I had absolutely no idea of it. He's took care of me when I had no way of taking care of myself. Aren't you glad you're serving a loving Savior? Do you love Him with all your heart? Let's sing it tonight. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, you brought me. Yes, you brought me a mighty long way. Mighty long way. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Lord.
You brought me. Oh, you brought me a mighty long way. Well, I thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You brought me. Lord, you brought me a mighty long way. A mighty long way. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Lord.
You brought me. Oh, you brought me.
Sister, my brother,
my brother too.
Lord, you brought me.
Lord, you brought
my Lord, you,
me.
Brought,
oh,
me.
You brought us,
a
Lord.
A mighty long way.
Such a mighty long
mighty
way.
Long way. You've been my mother.
Yes, you have, Lord.
You've been my father.
Oh, yes, you have.
You've been my sister, my brother,
oh,
too.
Yes. Oh,
you brought me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Jesus.
Oh,
I thank you, Lord.
Oh,
oh, you brought me.
Oh, Lord.
Lord, you brought me
a mighty long way.
Such a mighty long way. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. You brought me.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, you're just singing so good tonight. And I'm going to let you sit down. I don't want to, but I'm going to let you sit down. Let's just carry this atmosphere right on into the service tonight. Brother Dale Smith comes out to bring us the word of the Lord. I believe he's going to give us something that we'll have need of and something that will make us better Christians. How many of you enjoyed the service here Wednesday night?
Amen.
You appreciate the word of the Lord? Tell you what, it'll make us or break us, won't it, Brother Terry? I want it to make us, don't you? Sister Smith, come tonight, if you will. We're glad to have you here in the service. Give her a nice hand as she comes tonight to give us a song.
Please pray for me. Devil's trying to take my voice from me tonight.
Keep
my choice. Now it's real.
Certainly appreciate that song tonight. Let's stand as Brother Dale Smith comes tonight to bring us the word of the Lord. How many of you are going to pray for our brother? Amen. Let's just receive the word of the Lord tonight. Let the worshipers arise. You come to worship tonight? You're a worshiper. Amen. Let's sing it tonight as our brother comes.
Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand. I want to be standing by your side. Hold in your hand. So let your kingdom come. Let it live in me. This is my prayer. This is my plea. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering.
Pray together. Heavenly Father, we truly come surrendering our all, Lord, this evening, Father. That all that we have and all that we are and all that we ever shall be, Lord, that we could lay it into the loving arms of our Savior, knowing that you know what's best for us, Lord. Father, we ask you this evening to bless every part of this service. Lord, all that we would say or all that we would do may be done to edify your church and to glorify your worthy name. We'll give you all the thanks and praise this evening in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. God bless you, friends. It's awful good to be here. If you can say awful and good in the same sentence, I guess it's awful good, isn't it? Am I hooked up? Oh, you're going to get me an arm for battle right off the bat. Thank you, sir. Amen. Amen. I suppose you could have your seats for a minute. And if the brethren would go ahead and get that ready for me. I hear just before Christmas, Brother Darrell was supposed to go on his way to Africa, and he had a little bit of health problem there, which we're all very well aware of. And then he said the Lord put me on his heart to go. I felt mighty humbled to get to go. And we got to go to Arusha, Tanzania there to preach the youth services there. And there's a lot I could say, keep it brief. That was probably one of the highlights of my Christian experience. And we got to spend a few days there with them. I think we had 12 services in 4 days. I preached 9 services. And from that, we were able to add, well, not us, the Lord added to his church 26 souls that we baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus. And for that, give the Lord a hand. Amen. Amen. That's right. Yes, sir. Amen. And to see those young people, in the last service, there was four young people that gave their heart to the Lord that were just blanket sinners, come off the street and gave their lives to Christ and were baptized in the name of the Lord. And there was 250 young people registered. Seemed like there was a lot more than that. And which will give you a little tidbit of it, just a little film clip that I took with my cell phone. I wish I had a cameraman that could have took the whole of it all. It was just amazing to see those young people, the zeal in their hearts, and they were very excited for what God was doing in their lives. And we were able to preach 9 services. I gave my testimony there, and it was just to say the least. I really, really was. I told the saints there before I left. I said I came here to be a blessing, and I left with one. Amen. And so the Lord just really, really touched my life and my heart there, and just feel a renewed zeal to know that we're that much closer to the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord is not based on revolutions of the clock or how many pages of the calendar that we tear off, but friends, it's based on souls. And when the last one comes in, then friends, we'd have no reason to be here, and we go to meet our Lord in the air. So if the brethren would just run that last, just about 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes there, just so you can just see the excitement in their heart here, just right at the end of the service there. An octave there. It's hard to run the camera and not clap, I'll tell you right now. We may need to have another worship service after that. But just that you might see. If you'd stand to your feet this evening, we'll... There's so much we could say about those meetings, but you just, friends, you sponsored that. It was your giving and the leadership of Brother Donnie, Brother Daryl that put me there. And I tell you, if thank you is not big enough words, so on this side we'll probably never know what y'all mean to me just by letting me go there and helping me to get there. And it just means a lot. So thank you so much. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me into St. John's Gospel, chapter 14. For the sake of a title this evening, I want to preach a little thought called Another Comforter. St. John's Gospel, chapter 14, and starting at verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, with whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you shall see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And in verse 24, He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And may the Lord bless the reading of the word as you make yourselves comfortable this evening. A bit of personal testimony. While I was in Africa, I was able to give quite a exhaustive bit of testimony about my personal life, which the young people there were able to identify with, and I feel that that's why we just had such a bond with the people there, because they see someone that they don't know, that come from a country that they've never been, nor have any inkling that they'll ever go there, although they all really would like to come here. And I told him, I said, you're better off where you are. But there's no way you can explain that to them. But I was able to share with them that my life was not so much different than theirs, that I was raised in quite a poverty stricken area where I was raised there in central New Mexico, and just a little dust bowl place in the middle of nowhere. Actually, go to nowhere and then go 10 more miles, I always say. And that's where you find my place. And there was, we counting dogs and cats and everything, there was less than 100 people. And we was related to most of them. or we had been related at one time. And it was a non-religious place at a little union church there, but most everybody that was there were, you know, very, well, there was well drillers and mechanics, so you can imagine. And they just rough people raised with no God, no church, no kind of, we had Bibles, but I never read them. And the only time we ever went to church was for funerals or weddings. And had a little Baptist Sunday school teacher. I mowed her grass, and well, she knew I was such a bad little boy that I was only about 11 years old, but the marks of sin were already in my life. I was already smoking and cussed like a sailor, and you know, just a mean little thing. And the old woman, she's way up in her years, and she thought that she'd get me to mow her grass for her. What little bit of grass we had. Usually we had to pick up sticks, and they we'd pick up the sticks and mow a little bit of grass she had, And she'd pay me. I remember it was like, took me about an hour, hour and a half. She'd give me $5, you know, which I thought was a fortune. But before she'd give me my $5, she was a typical Baptist Sunday school teacher. And so she'd carry me into her house there, and she'd set me down at the table. And I remember she'd give me those Chips Ahoy chocolate chip cookies and red Kool-Aid. And I'd have to sit there and eat those cookies and drink that Kool-Aid, which I like pretty good. But then she'd pull out her little flannel board. And she'd break down, she'd bring me a Sunday school class. And she knew I wasn't going to get one on Sunday, so she figured she'd give me one on Friday. And she told me about God. She told me about the love of Christ. She told me about the blood of Jesus. She told me about the cross of Calvary. And she told me that God loved me and that He would save me from my sins. Well, that really didn't mean a whole lot to me at the time. But later I became very involved with just a real sinful life. I was a Marine and went in the Marine Corps at 17. And well, by the time I was 20 years old, I was heavily addicted to alcohol and drugs and cocaine, LSD, you name it, I took it. And overdosed, went deep into the dredges of sin as far as a man could go. And in that place where I was, we were dealing drugs in Santa Ana, California. And in that place, as far into the gutter as a man could go, had lost everything. I'd lost a Marine Corps career. I was completely busted. I was overdosed. I had lost my mind. I couldn't even carry on a conversation. Slurred speech. It was just as horrible. Just hallucinations. You can imagine just a zombie to the world. But in that little place, friends, in that place we were dealing drugs to prostitutes right outside of our door. And in that place, friends, I'm here to tell you, I was as far gone as a man could go. But a voice spoke to me in that place and said that if I continued in this way, that I would die in my sins. But if I follow Him, He had a work for me to do. And I got up from that place and went into a bathroom and I bowed my head before God and I said, Lord, help me, I'm a sinner. And I asked God to save me from my sins. I didn't even know how He was going to do it. But all I saw was that God came into that room, and in 15 minutes, friends, I walked out of there as straight, sober, and about my right mind as I am this very moment. I know the supernatural power of Almighty God that can change a sinner. Amen. Who is lost and undone without God nor His Son. But He reached down His hand for me. I was given away by my mother at birth. She gave me away to her sister. She had me illegitimately, and I didn't know anything about it till I was 11 years old. And so at 11 years of age, I found out my mother was my aunt, and my aunt was my mother, and my brother was my cousin. And you can imagine, you know, just twisted my little head, and I didn't trust nobody after that. And you know, it was even hard to trust God or trust anybody. But you know, that voice spoke to me, and when I felt the change of God come into my soul, I knew that He told me the truth, and He's never forsaken us, friends. And so I commonly refer to a little scripture in the Bible in Isaiah's gospel. The prophet Isaiah said, but Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. He says, can a woman forsake her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Yea, I will not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Did you notice there that the Bible doesn't say that He engraved your names there? It's frequently quoted that He's engraved our names on the palms of His hands. But in the scripture text, it does not say that. It says, I have engraved thee upon the palms of my hands. Friends, every part of you is in His hands. All of your fears, all of your thoughts, all your complexes, all your doubts, your phobias, all of your sins, your transgressions and your trespasses are engraved in the palms of His hands. Your feelings and your doubts and fears are there, and He knows everything about you, friends. And the Bible says that man might forget you, but He said, I cannot forget you. Oh, let me tell you, when He looks down and sees those nail scars, He remembers those whom He died for. Amen. We want to title our message this evening, Another Comforter. The word there in that we read there in verse 18 says, I will not leave you comfortless. That word there literally means an orphan. I will not leave you an orphan. And so that's why I prefaced this thought with my personal testimony of being lost and undone without God, without a mother, without father. Just kind of an orphan, just kicked from pillar to post, raised by this relative and then that one. But friend, let me tell you, amen, he said, I will not leave you like that. I will not leave you comfortless. He said, but I'll send you another comforter. That word comforter there is a different word that means one that is called to your aid. One who will plead your cause with another. An intercessor. The Bible says that it's one that will plead with God the Father for the pardon of our sins. And so we have this one, another comforter that will plead our cause, and so that when life becomes unbearable and when you look around you and you see how that sin and how that people and how that life and how the devil and how your own self has failed you and how that the world has dealt you maybe a bad hand or whatever the case might be. But the Bible says, I'll send you another comforter. I'll send one to your aid. I'll send one. This one will be summons to help you. This evening we want to refer to a character in the Bible. His name is Job. The Bible tells us that Job was a perfect man, and that he eschewed evil, and that he was perfect in the eyes of God. And so God wanted to use this kind of a man to prove his own word. And so he actually challenged the devil. And the devil says, well, you've got this hedge, you've got this protective boundary, this fence around Job, so that I can't get to him. But if I could ever get to him, then I would cause him to curse you to your face. Well, God took that challenge, and he allowed the devil to come and to take everything that Job had. In Job chapter 1, and I'm going to go real fast through this. Try not to drink too much of that. Be too long. Hey, man, that's good. Whose idea was that? Man, that's all right. That's all right. But in Job chapter 1, the Bible says that there was a day when Job's sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. There came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. The Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have come to tell you. And while he was yet speaking, there came another. And he said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone am escaped to come and tell you. And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels, have carried them away, and have slain thy servants with the edge of the sword, and I am alone have escaped to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house and fell upon the young men, and they are all dead. And I alone am escaped to tell thee. The Bible says that Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell upon the ground and worshiped. Worshiped. Oh my. Bible says that he worshiped and he cried out to God and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. And the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Then we find that the Bible tells us that The sons of God presented themselves together again, a second time. The Bible tells us that the Lord asked the devil, he said, where have you been? He said, well, I've just been walking on the face of the earth here and there. He said, well, what do you think about Job now? He said, well, he said, skin for skin. He said, he'll save his own skin. He said, you let me have his hide. You let me burn him up one time. You let me have his hide and I'll show you. He'll curse you to your face. The Lord says, well, go ahead. You can touch him, but you can touch his flesh, but you cannot touch his life. Oh, let me tell you, friends, when the devil got done with Job, Job was one sore, bleeding, feverish individual. The Bible says that he had a certain disease, I forget the name of it, but it started with boils on the top of his head, and they moved down through his whole body until they got to the bottoms of his feet. Now these boils, they begin to swell. And as they begin to swell, then an infection would set in. And there would be so much toxin in his body that these boils would then come to a head. And as they would come to a head, then they would begin to itch. And it began to be painful and uncomfortable. The Bible says that Job found him an ash heap. Then he rent his clothes and put upon sackcloth and put ashes upon his head. He took an old pot shard, an old broken piece of a pot. And the Bible said he scraped his balls and applied the ash to those balls. Now when he'd cut the heads off of them balls, he'd have to get in there and begin to squeeze on those old balls until he could get that pus and infection to come out of it. And then when it would get to bleeding, then he would rub them ashes in there as an antiseptic. And then he would get down on the bottoms of his feet and he would cut them boils off and he'd move up through his legs and on his knees. He'd get on his belly and on his arms. He'd get in his, maybe get on something that he could find on his face. But can you imagine when it got to that one right in the middle of his back? Can you imagine when it got to that one that he couldn't reach? And he'd lay there and agonize in pain. The Bible says that he had friends that came to see him. And those friends come and saw the pathetic, pitiful state of this man. And the Bible says they sat with their backs turned to him for 7 days and would not say a word. Oh, let me tell you that Job was looking for some help. If there was ever a man needed a comforter, it was old Job. As he stood, sat there in an ash heap and putting the ashes on there and waiting for somebody to come and help him. And oh, how he must have grinded, how he must have agonized, because there was them ones that was right in the middle of his back that he couldn't get. And so it was about that time that his darling, lovely wife, his little sweetheart from, it was the Bible talks about the bride of his youth and how that he had been waiting on her to show up. And we find out that when she come, that she come down there and she looked at old Job and her heart must have begun to break. As she looked into the eyes of her husband and could see the pain. And she had been up there on the hill burying youngins. Her own heart was broken. She was come down there and looked at Job and she probably went down there by the little cool spring and got a real nice piece of cloth that she had woven from one of them sheeps that had gotten burned up. And she come down there with that nice cloth, that little cloth and some cool water and come down there and sat down next to Job and said, honey, here, won't you have a drink? Yes. Laid her hands on him and prayed and maybe laid that cool compress on his forehead to help him to get rid of the fever. And then after a little bit of time, maybe she come over there and said, oh honey, these boils here on your back, they're looking horrible. Maybe she said, here, let me help you with those. Well, I never read that in the Bible. It's what should have been. It's what it should have read like. But it didn't read like that. The Bible says that she come down there and looked at him with disdain and blamed him for everything that had happened and said, Job, why don't you curse God and die the death?
Why don't you just spin the revolver and put it to your head? Why don't you end this thing? Why don't you call up Dr. Death and have him give you the lethal injection? Come on now, I'm telling you about the way it was in those days that they believed if they cursed God that they would die. They had a little bit more respect for God than people do today. No, sir. Even the one that should have comforted him, even the little lovely darling wife, the one that you would have thought would have been there to help him in his time of need, amen, was the last one. The Bible says that after 7 days, they began to accuse Job. They began to make up all kinds of things to say about him. Job would reply and they would have a rebuttal. And Job would say, I'm innocent. The Lord knows that I offered sacrifice. I fed the poor. I gave alms. I sat in the street. I sat in the gates of the city. I helped the judge. I helped the orphan. I helped the widow. I did all these things. They said, you're a secret sinner. You're a secret sinner. And the Bible goes on to tell of all the things that they accused Job of. They pointed their finger and pointed their finger and pointed their finger until finally they got him so flustered that he even tried to become self-righteous, and that's where he failed God. And so it got to a place that they just kept pointing their finger at him. I can imagine Job sitting there and looking up on the side of the hill and see a row of graves up there. Some fresh thrown sod. Where all of his servants, all of his friends, all the ones that had worked for him were now dead, buried up there. Maybe he could look down by the house and see a little cemetery where they had dug out a little spot there where he thought that maybe one day that he would be buried. But yet all of his children were there before him. Now he would have to look down there. Oh, it's one thing when you see the grave of a little baby. And you know that they're resting in the arms of Jehovah. Yeah, right. You know that a young child before the age of accountability, you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that if they pass from this life, that God takes them and it's a good thing when they go and God is blessed by it. But when you look and see those ones, maybe was teenagers. Maybe some that was a little bit older, that had gotten involved in business and in the world and in school and had a little bit of education behind them, had a little bit of worldly experiences behind them. And you wondered, and I'm sure old Job wondered, I wondered about them. But then he began to remember back in the back parts of his mind. But I remember the other day when I went down to the sacrifice and I brought me a lamb and I offered sacrifices for those children. Job was trusting God that there would be an atonement made for him. We wonder sometimes, oh, what would be our comfort to know when someone would go beyond the veil? Were they ready to go? Were they prepared to meet God? Especially if they come all of a sudden. Life takes them shortly. Job waited on God and he took the accusing of his brethren. Finally, he called him and said, you're miserable comforters. Miserable comforters. You're a bunch of church members. A bunch of church members. The prophet said they were. They were church members. Said, you're miserable comforters. They blamed him and pointed their finger. After all, watch, they had plenty of ammo here. After all, the fire did fall from heaven. Surely that's the judgments of God. Surely the acts of God in a wind that come out of the wilderness that destroyed your children, that was an act of God. It would be on the news tonight. Act of God kills all of Job's kids. That's right. Oh my. And so they had plenty of ammo. They could stand there and they had the evidence right there. Job, you can see you're a blind man if you can't say that you're a secret sinner now. But they was looking at the outside what could be seen. But Job was looking on the inside, and he was looking to a world that is unseen. And Job was looking, and he said, I know that if I could stand here on the earth as a sinful man, and if there was a holy God up there, but if there was somebody that could stand between me and stand between God, a daysman that could touch me and touch God and bridge the way and could communicate and stand in the gap and be in the breach, amen, I would tell him my plan. And he would answer. Oh, Job knew he needed a comforter. Somebody to plead his cause. I read a story one time. It was a ship. I think it was during the time of the pilgrims. They were traveling across from the old world into the new world. As they were coming across, a great storm came up. It was one of those long, drawn-out typhoons. The little ship in those days were very small compared to what they have today. And that little ship was like a bottle stopper out there, just going up and down and up and down. The waves were coming over the top. And so finally the captain had relieved all of his men and told all of them to pull down all the cloth out of the sails, batten down everything that could be tied down, and that they were to go beneath the decks and to tie themselves and call out for God and pray. Told all the passengers to seek God and to prepare for the worst. And the captain himself went up there and lashed himself to the wheel. He stayed out there on the wheel and way into the night and into the next day. And finally, there was one of the passengers that they was so sick and so weary from all the up and down. And you can imagine the sickness that was upon them. And the rain was pelting down and the wind was blowing. And their life seemed to be in peril. It was in their last fleeting moments. Finally, this one man, he said, I must go and see. So he went up against the orders of the captain and he crawled out onto the deck. And as the wind and the waves were blowing, and he crawled across the deck and he got up to the bottom of the helm there where the captain had lashed himself to the wheel. And he looked up and he saw the captain, and the captain turned and looked at him and smiled. The man turned around and crawled back down into the hold and shut the door. And he said, all is well. I saw the face of the captain and he smiled. Oh, let me tell you, sometimes, friend, when everything around you looks like it's fixing to fall apart, when your world is coming apart at the seams, when all the strings are coming loose, friends, oh, just look into the face of the captain and see his smile and everything's going to be all right. Amen. Oh, he's a comfort in a time of trouble. Job, pressing on, finally he gets to a place that he looks around him and he says, I know that my life, said he even cursed the day of his conception. He cursed the hour of his birth. Said it would have been better for me not to have been born than to go through this and then to perish and then to go out into the grave. And for the, he said, oh, hide me over in the grave until thy wrath be past. And so Job, he looked around and he saw that the grass had died and come back again. And he saw the flower, how it withered and it came back again. The tree that he was pulling the ashes from where he had burned the stump. He was pulling the ashes from it, and from the midst of that, the Bible says that the scent of water. Oh, that little tree reached down. Amen. Even though its roots were dead, something inside of it reached down until it found a drink of water. And the Bible says, and the tree came back. Oh, Job saw that tree and he said, the tree comes back. He said, but what about a man? Now then, the prophet of God tells us that any time that God does anything, he has to use the instrumentality of a human being. He said he could have used the trees, he could have used the animals, he could have used the mountains. He could have spoke out of the heavens. He said, but he chose a man for his instrument. And so, Job never recognized that it was God. As long as the devil can make you believe sometime that the little trials that you go through is God's punishing you, but it was God trying to show him something, and Job never recognized it. And those that were around him, they could not recognize the condition that Job was in, and they pointed their finger at him and said, you're a secret sinner, you're a liar, and this is on you because of the wrath of God. And they could only see the plight of Job, but what they failed to recognize was the election in Job's life. They failed to recognize that this was an elect seed of Almighty God, and of prophet tells us that God takes those seed and he beats them and beats them and beats them until he can see himself in the reflection. Oh, sometimes you wonder, why do I have to go through this? Why is my bank account so low? Why do I get these red slips in the mail? I don't suppose you get those here, but they we get them sometimes. And you get the blue slip and then you get the red slip. Oh my, and then you see the power man coming, or the water man coming, or the gas man coming, and you don't know why, Lord, why am I to go through this? And Brother Bram said, you can be the happiest poor man on the block. Amen, if you got your trust in the one who will not leave you. They failed to see their election in Job's life. But when God speaks anything, it's got to happen for his thought first, then his word is expressed. So for God to express his word, he has a thought, but then God has an instrument. He uses the instrumentality of human beings. And so when he takes that human being, the prophet of God tells us, uses the example of Isaiah. He said, God, through his prophet Isaiah, a man who had his ups and downs like we do, had his mistakes like we do. But God got the man so yielded by being a prophet that his words, that God's thoughts expressed through those mortal lips of Isaiah, a man with sin and things as I have, ups and downs like I have and like you have, but a yielded vessel to God, expressed the thought, God's thought through word, that no matter what they'd done, Isaiah's words had to be fulfilled, for it was God's thought expressed through Isaiah. That God had a word that had to be expressed, and he chose a man to do it, but he had to get that man in a position to see the will of God. And sometimes the will of God comes and you don't even recognize it. It's like that woman here. I was listening to a tape here the other day, and Brother Bram talks about this woman, and he's discerning her thoughts there. He said, now you're happy to be here, aren't you? He said, but you thought you weren't going to be here. You prayed before you came here, and you felt that the Lord told you you would be the first one in line. Said, and when we called for the numbers, the prayer cards to be given, you didn't get prayer card number one. You got prayer card C85. I'm paraphrasing, bringing this story so you understand what I'm talking about. Because if you were just listening, you wouldn't catch this. I went back and put A to B and C and D like that. So now then, here she is. And he's telling her, you didn't get the prayer card you thought you were going to get. And so now you thought you were left out. You thought that what you heard wasn't God. He said, but then when we got to call the prayer cards, We said, well, we gave out 100 cards. He said, now, let's just start at the end tonight. Let's take the last 15. Called C85. She was the first one in line. Amen. Oh, sometimes, friend, we think we've got to be prayer card number one. We think we've got to be just exactly the way I had it figured out. Brother, I'm saying when you get it all figured out, that's when you're wrong. Oh, just take the lot that God gives you and be happy for it. Amen. With food and raiment, therewith be content. I have been abounded and I have been abased, but in all things I have learned to be content with the lot that God has given me. Because sometimes C85 is better than C number one. Amen. Oh, I say, God, give me my C85. Amen. I'll take my C53 or 42 or 19. Oh, but God, whatever it is, I know you'll call when it's time for me to hear. I just want to get my part and believe God. Now, oh my. If you all talked as much as I did, you could have a drink of that. Amen. I feel guilty drinking that. Some poor little kid will say, Mommy, I'm thirsty. Oh, I love him. Watch. So now this word had to be expressed through a prophet. Job got his C85. And he thought, this is the worst thing that could possibly happen to me. How am I ever going to get in the line? I'm at the very end of the list. What am I going to do? And if he would have stood there and fretted over those things, he would have never got it in his mind what God was trying to show him. Brother Adam said that Job never recognized that God was trying to show him something. Oh, let me tell you, friends, amen, just pray and read your Bible and live a simple, humble Christian life and do what's right and consecrate yourselves before God and purify yourself even as He purifieth Himself, and you can hear God speak to you. All this filth and worldliness in your life and you wonder why you can't hear the voice of God? Serious. So now then, but Job, he got to a place. And so God, because he had to express his thought, that God had a thought in his mind concerning a comforter. That there was a comforter that was going to come. The Bible says, see if I can find this. I wrote it down. Yeah, it's in Ecclesiastes 4. He says, so I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter. Lamentations 1 and 16 said, for these things I weep, my eye runneth down like water, because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy hath prevailed. So now there was a place where man was in the Old Testament that they looked around, but there was no comforter. But if we go back to Job, the oldest book in the Bible, we find that there was one Job. He called his friends. He said, you're miserable comforters. He called his wife a miserable comforter. He needed some comfort. He needed some help. And all he could see was death and destruction all around him. But then he began to look at the things of nature. He began to look at the things that were closer to him. He said, oh, this flower, it comes back. This grass, it comes back. Amen. The tree, it comes back. But what about man? The prophet of God said God was waiting for Job. Amen. To get into a condition where he could ask that question. That if he could ask that question, then God, once he asked that question, then the lightning flashed, so to speak. The thunder began to roll. The prophet stood on his feet, straightened his shoulders. Amen. He looked out, and the prophet of God said, and he saw himself in the resurrection. When he saw himself in the resurrection, then he realized, oh, my Redeemer liveth. And he'll stand upon the earth in the latter days, and I'll behold him with these eyes. I'll see him, and it's not another. Oh, think about it, friends. That now this one, he said, my Redeemer liveth. Oh, it was already a finished product that the Redeemer, the Comforter, the one that was to come to plead the cause, the Advocate, would be on the earth at the latter days. And Job had already prophesied it. It came through the mouth of a prophet. Oh, it was God who used the devil to get his son into a condition so that he could bring his word to pass. Oh, let me tell you, friends, in the words of Brother Harold Beckett of South Africa, he said, you should thank the devil every day. He said, because God is using him to bring you to your ends. Amen. He's just a tool in the hand of God. He's hooked to your wagon. Amen. To get you. The Bible says, amen, that he that endureth till the end, the same shall be saved. He's hooked to your wagon. He's a slave for my Lord. He's toothless. He's a liar and he's toothless. And God's got him hooked to the bride's wagon. Amen. That's right. Oh my. Watch this. He says, Brother Bram here, accepting God's provided way at the end time. Is that what you want? God's provided way at the end time. Amen. Oh, he said, God doing what? Making a provided way. Job, a prophet, needed a comforter. Now, listen, my time's got away. Job needed a comforter. Men tried to provide that thing for him. They could not do it. They always got Job off the line. But Job come right back. He needed a comforter. And God provided a comforter for him when he gave him a vision of Jesus Christ. Amen. I know my Redeemer liveth. My Redeemer, there's only one. And the last days he'll stand upon the earth. What a comforter. He asked for a church member. God gave him a vision. He asked for a bishop. God gave him comforter. Amen. Gave the prophet a vision. And that's what he needed. Oh, friend, that's what the church needs today. That we've got to see God's provided way for the end time. And get in that way and walk in it. Live in it, breathe in it, have your very being in the God's provided way for the end time. And then God will show you a vision. You say, oh, am I going to see a vision out here like the prophet of God? Well, he could show you that. People still see visions, by the way. Sure. But what if he was just to show you or give you a revelation of the vision that's already been sent by the seer of our day? A greater understanding of God's will and purpose for your life. That if you could see the Son of Man made flesh again, amen, in this last days. Oh, more than just in a prophet. Brother Adam said, he's the Son of Man in my flesh, your flesh, in the flesh of the church of the living God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He said, the Holy Ghost is our comforter. Oh, my. Oh, I love the Word of God, friends. If it weren't for Jesus, oh, where would I be? Amen. Oh, my. Now, I love it when the Holy Spirit quotes these and I don't have to read them. Let's see here. That's the reason that visions break through the sound barrier. That's the reason a vision can break through time barriers and say, thus saith the Lord, it shall be so and so. And that's what it is. That's what it is. It's the coming forth of a spirit, the anointing of the Holy Ghost for each age comforts the people. Amen. Amen. So now, as I thought of that, that here come a promise of the Holy Ghost. Jesus tells the disciples another comforter I'm going to send to you, whom the world will not see, for it cannot see, but you shall see, for I shall be with you, even in you, till the end of the world. And so now, he said, a little while, and I won't be with you anymore. In other words, I am your comfort right now. You got a problem, I'm going to take care of it. We got sickness, somebody dies, we'll go pray for him. Lazarus is dead, we go bring him back out. We do all these things as one man ministry upon the earth. He said, but another comforter, and he will bring to remembrance the things that I taught you, even the Spirit of truth. And so this same Spirit that Jesus speaks of here, or this one that was to come, the Holy Spirit, now when Jesus goes off the scene, he ascends on high on the day of Pentecost, he sends his Spirit back upon the church. They receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the earnest, the title, abstract title deed to redemption laid back in the hands of the church. Then we find that now, because as the bridegroom had to be laid into the ground and die and then be brought back up, he said, now so must the church also. He said, unless a corn of wheat die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, then it shall bring forth much fruit. So here, because of the restoration process that God has already in his mind, that there's going to be a latter day work. And that he has these attributes that are in him that are around the throne. That Moses saw when the angel stood before the Garden of Eden, guarding the way back to the tree of life, had a sword in his hand that turned every way. Isaiah saw the same vision that Moses saw when he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. And those seraphim were there flying, crying, holy, holy, holy continually. And even the pillars of the church and heaven was shaken. Brother Branham says that Isaiah saw the same thing that Ezekiel saw in chapter 1 and in chapter 10 also, where he talks about the wheel in the middle of the wheel. And he said, what was it on that wheel? There was faces, and these faces turned every way like the sword did, and they cried the same way that the seraphim did. And he saw the one sitting on the throne who was like fire from the waist up and like fire from the waist down. And oh my, they were seeing these things, but Brother Adam said they saw them from a different angle. All right. So then we find that over in the book of Revelations, John sees these same vision that all these others through the Bible are seeing, but here they're in symbol form, and what they are is sealed up with seven seals. So now then, here at the end time, when those seals are broken, and now we see what those symbols meant. Because people probed at it, even Brother Branham probed at it and got it wrong. He came back and then had to say, but the angel told me what it was. Oh my. So when the church starts out, Jesus then says, another comforter I'm going to send to you. When this comforter comes on the scene, now then it was the same Spirit, always the same Spirit, but Brother Bram said it's God in morphe. God changing his mask. And so he took off the mask of the Son of Man. He comes in the office of the Son of God, and he puts on the mask of the lion. And he walks out under a lion anointing and anoints the church of the living God, another comforter. And when they come out, what do? They wrote the New Testament. They turned the world upside down because here they were under that anointing of that lion. But then that white horse rider, without his bow, he changes his horse, gets on a red horse, and begins to ride. So now that lion anointing was not the anointing that would be able to combat the enemy under that red horse, because he went out to slaughter. And so God then says, another comforter I will send unto you, even the Spirit of truth. And he said, the works that I do shall you do also. And they laid down their lives. And so the spirit of the ox Another comforter, he changes his mask and he comes into the church. God changing his mask into the church. And now a mother, amen, can look at her little 4-year-old boy and say, Sonny boy, hold the faith. And those soldiers there threatening her said, if you don't make him recant, we're going to bash his brains out. She says, hold the faith, honey. Hold the faith. And they took that child and they smashed his brains out on a rock. And then they took the mother and told the husband, you make her recant or we're going to cut this baby that's inside of her womb out. And you're going to watch her die. And we're going to gamble on the sex of what that child is. And they threatened him and he said, darling, keep the faith. What was it? The spirit of the ox was upon her, the comforter, that he said, I will send from the Father and my name shall be upon you. And so that little woman, amen, she could look back into the eyes of her husband and say, in just a few minutes, darling, I'll be reunited with our son. And they butchered that woman right before his eyes. And then they tied him in an animal skin and threw him in an arena and let the wild dogs pull him apart. What did that? What could cause somebody to do that? What could allow them to have such peace as they built the fires around him and the fires would come up around them? And I remember one martyr, he reached down into the flames and pulled the flames upon himself. He said, let me cleanse myself with these fires. One man, they took pinchers and they pinched holes in his body. All over his body from his head to his toes. They threw him back into the dungeon. And he looked at his persecutor. And he looked at the little holes and they looked like little mouths. Look at a little mouth all over his body. And he said, I want to thank you that you've given me this many more mouths that I may praise the Lord. Oh, what was it? Another comforter I'll send unto you. Oh, then it come time for them to be able to transfer the word of God into all the languages of the people. And God sent another comforter, even the spirit of a man upon the church. But then the Bible says that there would come a day. Oh, let me tell you. Amen. I want to read it for you. The Bible says, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. He shall go forth and grow up of calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in that day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto you in Horeb for all of Israel, with the statutes and the judgments. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I smite the earth with a curse. Oh, let me tell you, church, that there's a curse coming upon the earth. The Bible says, amen, to come out of her, my people, and be not a partaker of her plagues. I'm here to tell you, friend, the Bible says that after the shout and after the voice and after the trump, that they shall say peace and safety, and sudden destruction shall come upon the earth. If there was ever a time for the church of the living God, that we need a comforter in this day. We need a comforter in this hour. And the Bible says that he shall send, amen, one with healing in his wings. Oh, let me tell you, that last spirit of Christ that he sent upon the church, amen, would be the spirit of a flying eagle. Another comforter I send unto you. Amen. What is it? Even the spirit of truth and the spirit of a flying eagle that would come back upon the church, that would lift us up out of dark denominationalism. It would lift us up out of the world and out of the brothel and out of the drug house and all these other places. It would lift us up above the shadows. Amen. And give us life that we might see the day and hour, that we may recognize our day and its message. Oh, where are you tonight? What are we under? Oh my. The same scripture applies. The world will not see me, for it knoweth me not. But ye shall know me. For because I live, ye shall live also. What is it? The Spirit of truth. That shall come back upon the church. In a time of desperation. In a time when men's hearts are failing for fear. In a time when the storm, Brother Bram says, oh, that we should have our anchors out today. The drift anchors should be out. Why? Because the waves are treacherous. He said, we're sailing through treacherous waters now. Oh, my. One day there was a ship, Second World War. It's called the USS Indianapolis. It was at 12:14 a.m. on July the 30th, 1945. The USS Indianapolis was torpedoed by a Japanese submarine. In the Philippine Sea, it sank in 12 minutes. There was 1,196 men on board. Approximately 300 died with the ship. The remainder, about 900 men, were left floating in shark-infested water with no lifeboats. Most of them without food. Or without water. The ship was never missed. And by the time the survivors were spotted by accident, 4 days later, there was only 316 men still alive. Out of over 1,000 men, there was 300 left. And of those 300, they held hands one with another as they laid there with their life preservers around their necks. And as the life began to spill out of them, hallucinations would set in. They would begin to drink the salt water. Their bodies would dehydrate, and then they would die. But after 4 days, these men were spotted by accident when they sent the rescue crafts to pull them out of the water because they had soaked in diesel fuel and crude oil and salt water for 4 days, that the epidural layer of their skin had let loose from their muscle tissue. And when they pulled them in the boats, it debrided their bodies. And those men laid between life and death for several days. The man that told the testimony that I heard said he heard screams come from those young boys like he had never heard even from a woman in travail. And of those that they pulled from the water, there were some that survived. And of those that survived, the testimony of one was this. Said, I became a successful businessman. Said, I raised a large family. He said, but in the life after the war, after I had gone through those 4 days on the sea, I endured many, many hardships. I lost loved ones. I saw families break apart. I lost fortunes. And my life would get down to its lowest ebb from time to time. And he said, I didn't know how I could face another day. So, but then I would go down into the basement and I would open up an old trunk down there. And I would reach into that trunk and I would pull out that old life preserver that I had floated on 4 days on the sea. He said, and I would sit down in the floor and I would wrap that old life preserver around my neck. When I would feel the warmth, amen, and I could feel that old preserver come around my neck, he said, I knew I could face another tomorrow. Oh, let me tell you, friends, and there was one time, a stormy night, just in time I saw the light. Oh, and Jesus wrapped his loving arms around an old sinner boy. Amen. And gave me new life. And I'm here to tell you, friends, I've gone through some hard times. I've seen a lot of heartache and been through a lot of rough trials and tears. Oh, but let me tell you, amen, when I can come back to Calvary and come down to an old mourner's bench, amen, and find my way back to God, and Jesus can wrap the arms of Calvary around me, I know everything is going to be all right. I know I could face another tomorrow. And why? Because of God sent a comforter. Another comforter I send to you. Even the Spirit of truth. Oh, he's here to comfort tonight. Maybe your trial is so great that you want to take the easy way out. Maybe you'd be thinking about taking your own life. Oh, I'm here to tell you, friends. Oh, come to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Let him wrap his loving arms around you. Oh, you'll find a place in there where peace, oh, that passes all understanding. Oh, he'll be there for you, friends. He's here tonight. If we'll stand to our feet, as our musician brethren will come. Oh, give him praise, all ye people. Give him praise. Oh, he's worthy of all of our praises, friends. Amen. Oh, my. Another comforter I'll send you. Remember, Jesus picked up the book and he read from the book. And he read down through Isaiah 61, down through part of the passage there. The Bible says he closed the book, gave it back to the priest. And the Bible says, and precious words began to proceed from his mouth. The prophet of God came, he preached birth pains in our day, and then at the end of birth pains, or at the beginning of birth pains, some things happened that reminded Brother Branham of that very thing. He comes back after that and preaches a message called, "This Day, This Scripture Is Fulfilled." I went back and picked up there in Isaiah 61. Briefly, not just to keep preaching, but I just want to hit this one last note. I was just looking at this. This just seems so real to me. But in Isaiah 61, Jesus reads down through verses 1 and 2. And in the midst of verse 2, he stops. He says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he gave the book back. The prophet of our day comes and begins to preach. And he begins to tell us that this day, this scripture is fulfilled. And he gives us Malachi 4 and Luke 17 and these different passages of the Bible that he identifies with his own personal ministry. But I began to read as I was looking at this thought. And the Bible says that there was the rest of the chapter there, the rest of the verse. And it says, and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. Could we say this evening, Happy Valley, Tennessee, Elizabethan, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. To comfort all that mourn. Maybe you got a need tonight, friends. Maybe you got sickness. Maybe you got a terminal disease and you don't know how you're going to face another tomorrow. My Bible says that we can comfort all that mourn. My Bible says that we can say that in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we should be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Is that what the Bible says? One place the Bible says we'll be caught up to meet the saints and to meet the Lord in the air. Wherefore, we will be with the Lord forevermore and that we can comfort one another with these words. Think about it, friends. These lives are but a vapor. And then we go away to be with the Lord forever. Oh, it makes it worth living to know that just any day now, oh, I'll see Him, I'll look at Him, I'll behold Him and not another. Praise be to God with all the sainted angels. Those the sainted millions that have gone on before us. We'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Oh, we can rejoice. Amen. Amen, brother. Just something that's on your heart. Softly as we bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just take a moment now to reflect, oh God, that we know that there's no trial, no test. Oh, too big for you, Lord. You told us in your Bible that we could cast all of our cares upon you, for you care for us. That you're God who is rich in mercy. And so, Lord, we come to thee tonight with all of our hearts. Lord, and we run to thee. We run to Jesus. Oh, sweet and lovely Lord Jesus. We run to you tonight, Father, and we realize, oh God, that our help cometh from above. Lord, we look to thee from whence cometh our help. Oh, one to plead our cause. Lord, we were forsaken by mother, by father, by brother, by churches, by preachers. We were forsaken by the world, by our friends. But you said, I'll never forsake you. I'll never forget you. Oh, I've made a lasting impression upon myself. And I've placed you in the palms of my hands. And I won't lose a one of you. Oh, we're so glad for it tonight. We worship you with our whole heart, Lord. Bless your wonderful name. We worship you, O King of Kings. O Lamb of God. With all of our hearts, we lift up your name in praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm lacking a song, brother. So whatever's on your heart.
I have journeyed through the long dark night. Faith alone, sight unknown, and yet his eyes watching me.
God. Yes, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless His holy name. He's my comfort. He's my shield. Amen. He's a rock in a weary land. Amen. He's my comfort. He's my friend.
Yes, yes, yes.
Amen. And I love Him. I love Him with all of my heart, friends. Amen. Before we close this service, I want to give anyone that would not know the Lord as their Savior. My old daddy-in-law used to sing a song about one that was drifting out on life's pitiless sea. And he heard the cry of the captain saying, "A boat to me, Lord." Oh, the captain's kind ear, he heard my distress. He sent me a life preserver. Maybe your life is lost and you don't know God and you're without Christ. If you were to leave this place and God would call for your soul. And you would have to go out and face an eternity without God or without His Son. Oh friend, you would leave here and you would go to the regions of the lost, where you would suffer torment until you would be drawn back into that body to be judged. And then you would be burnt in unquenchable fire. But if you went to that place, friends, you would go as an uninvited guest. Because God doesn't want you to go there. But He said, "I go away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also." And friends, He's calling. Jesus is calling. Oh, sinner, come home. Don't leave this place. Oh, I implore thee by God, by the Spirit of the Lord that's upon me, to tell you, to warn you to flee from the wrath that is to come. Oh, but there's a hope. There's a paradise of God that He has prepared for all those that love Him. And friends, that love is appearing. And I know that if you feel checked in your soul, I'll introduce you to the lovely Lord Jesus, the one that I met so many years ago, the one that is still so dear to my soul. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's here tonight, very real. If you don't know Him, I can introduce you. Maybe you're living just a cold and indifferent life. You need Christ tonight. Don't leave this place without finding the Lord and renewing your grateful vow before Him. That's why we come to church, just to find out where we're wrong. And that there's a God that's a way maker. He's a need meter. He's a fixer of all of our broken dreams and our broken toys. Oh, He's here tonight. We will sing that little chorus, "In the Presence of Jehovah," as we prepare to dismiss you. But I want to give just a moment for somebody to make a choice. Oh, in the presence of Jehovah. Oh, help us, Lord. He's God Almighty. Oh, yes, He is. And He's the Prince of Peace. Oh. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Vanity. Hearts are mended in the presence of the King.
Did I get over there? Who closes out?
In the presence of the Comforter. Oh, He's God, and He's God Almighty. Yes, He is. He's the Prince. Oh, the peace that passes all my understandings. Troubles vanish, and hearts, oh, they're mended in the prison of the King.
Amen. Let's bow our heads before the Lord as we prepare to dismiss from this place. Heavenly Father, truly, You spoke to us along the way. Lord, we are so thankful, Lord, that we don't have to make this journey alone. As I heard Your prophet say today that he could, how that his mother was going to cross over, and there was another woman there also going to pass. And he told that woman, said, Mother can walk with you down to the bank of the river, but she can't cross you over. You'll need Him to guide you over. Oh, Lord Jesus, I believe that Your church, oh, in the great scheme of all things, that we are even down to where we can feel the waves of the old Jordan lapping against our feet, Lord, as we prepare for a crossing, Lord, even very soon. But there will be a people that will cross without the taste of death. And the Bible tells us it will be changed. Oh, that we'll meet those that have gone on before, and that we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, to be ever with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Oh, the church of the living God is preparing, oh God, for a crossing. Lord, we're thankful that we have one to guide us, one to lead us, oh God, that'll be with us even to the end. We love You, Lord Jesus. We praise You this evening, Lord. Father, go with these, Your children. Take them from this place, never from Your presence. Bring them again safely, oh God, again in the morning, as we honor Your glorious resurrection, the one that Job looked for and that he saw, and that he experienced. He saw You, beheld You as You carried him over. Oh, and as they went up, they heard the ransom hosts of God begin to shout, lift up you gates, you everlasting gates, and let the King of glory come in. Said, who is the King of glory? Said, it's the Lord, mighty in battle. He's the King of glory. Oh, God, may they also shout as we begin to prepare our ascent into that glorious place. Oh, God, we love You and we worship You now as we commit our lives into Your care. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sing something happy, Brother Harry, as we go out the door. Amen. Oh, give Him praise, all you people. Amen. Hallelujah to God. Yes, He does.
He abides. Hallelujah. He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day. As I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Oh, He abides, He abides. Hallelujah, He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me.
In the name of Jesus.
I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this pilgrim way. For the hand of God in all my life I see, and the reason of my bliss is the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides. This narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Once my heart was full of sin, once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon that tree. Then I fell down at His feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides with me. Oh, He abides. This narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. There's no thirsting for the things of this world, they've taken wings. Long ago I gave them up, and instantly all my night was turned to day, all my burdens rolled away, since the Comforter abides with me. Oh, He abides. Night and day, as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me.